Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Well, good morning. Man, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? Man, it's been a great, just a fantastic day. I want to make you aware of one more thing. So today is Christmas Eve, and so a lot of churches will be having an evening Christmas Eve service. We won't be having one here. We're kind of going to roll it all into one service here in a little bit. You'll see how it unfolds here just in a moment. But if you wanted to make an evening service a part of your family tradition, you're welcome to join Casey and I. We'll be at Malvern Hill Baptist Church at 4 o'clock for their Christmas Eve service. And so if you just felt like you wanted to make an evening service part of your family tradition, we'll be over there with Pastor Craig and our friends over there. And you're welcome to come and join them with us as well. And something really neat about spending the evening singing carols and stuff. Now, if you're really brave, you won't stay up really late. I usually go to the Catholic Church at 11:30 on Christmas Eve night. Because they are 11:30. I got to double check the time. So if you're feeling really bold and just, man, I'm wide awake, then I've 85% chance I'll be there tonight as well. So, man, I just love all this stuff. I'll just live in church if I could. So, So I just want to make you aware of those things as well. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and that'll be, if you have a pew Bible in front of you, that'll be page 715. If you're new here with us, if this is your first time here with us, and you don't have a Bible and want one, this Bible there in front of you in your pew is our gift to you. I would love for you to take that and make it yours. As a gift from us. But Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 26, just here in a moment. But man, so we're finally here. We've made it. It's Christmas Eve. It's really unbelievable. I remember just several weeks ago, I was telling somebody, I mean, this is back November, mid-November. I said, believe it or not, I mean, you might as well consider Christmas is already here because we're going to blink. And it's really going to be over. And literally, that's what I did. I blinked, and here I am. Or at least that's how it feels, correct? It feels like we were just doing the Hanging of the Greens service a couple weeks ago. And really, so the season has been all about expecting. It's been about understanding that we live in a dark world and that the Christ wants to break in to the darkness. Christ wants to break into our lives, and he wants to fill our hearts. He wants to fill us with his light. And so before we jump into part two of this long-expected Jesus series, let's do a quick review. Like I mentioned a few weeks ago, in some ways, our series has really been like a Star Wars movie trilogy. Kevin's over here with his Star Trooper tie. Is that you got on? Yeah, so he's with me on that one. It really is like a Star Wars movie trilogy. You know how Star Wars, they give you one movie, and then everything after that's like a prequel, and you're just jumping around all this timeline. I went to saw The Last Jedi, whatever it was, Monday, and I'm like, I went with David and Scott, so I was like, grabbing the car, I was like, all right, David, give me the rundown. Where are we at in this timeline? And he was able to very succinctly catch me up and let me know what all was going on. And so kind of like a Star Wars movie trilogy, we kind of started in the future, and we've been moving our way back through the timeline. Because in week one, we jump to future events. In week one, we understand that we, as God's people today in the 21st century, we are living in this time in between the first advent and the second advent. Advent means coming. And so Christ came once, his first advent, but we recognize that there is coming a day when Christ will come again, and he is coming in his fullness. He is coming to bring redemption and to bring his kingdom in his fullness. And while we are here in this period, we are called to work in this work of redemption. We are called to do what we can to bring about God's good purposes, to live with kingdom values. And we're looking forward to the day, however, man, when he does come in his fullness. And in weeks 2 and 3, we jump to the time of John the Baptist. And as John prepared the people of that day for the coming of the kingdom of God, Jesus would usher in, he made a call for preparedness, and he made a call for righteousness and for repentance. We prepare for the kingdom of God to break in by allowing him to be Lord. And then last week, Pastor Amanda reminded us that when Christ is Lord, then our lives will give testimony that he is the light. Did you catch that? When we make Christ Lord of our lives, then a direct result, a direct byproduct should be that our lives give testimony that not only is he Lord of our lives, but yes, he is indeed the light of the world, because he has shown light into my life and he can show light into your life as well. So this morning we come to a text that again takes us to a different moment in the timeline. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, which is also Christmas Eve, we would hope that we're soon getting to the birth narrative of Jesus. We're in that time. You've seen the nativity scenes. You've seen all the decorations, and you've been coming to church, and every Sunday you're like, man, maybe this is going to be the Sunday where we get maybe an actual Christmas text. Well, we're going to get there, but not quite yet. We're going to just begin to get into that a little bit. We're going to try to wrap our minds around this conversation that actually takes place between Mary and the angel Gabriel about 9 months prior to the birth of Christ. Let's read this together. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. I would invite you, if you can, to stand for the reading of God's word. If you're not able to stand, that's okay. But if you're able to, I think that would be good. Hear the word of the Lord. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." And probably the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Father, we are so very thankful for the reading of your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Amen and amen. You may be seated. You know, and thinking about what it means to be favored, it got me thinking about this time of the year that we're in. You know, we're in that time of the year where you're hearing songs that have lyrics like, "You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why, because, well, who's coming to town? Santa Claus is coming to town." And as we all know, the legend tells us that in order to be favored by Santa Claus, you got to be good. Got to be good. But aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that God is not Santa Claus? That should be a really big amen. Aren't you thankful that God is not Santa Claus? God finds favor in us by not what we do or don't do, but because of God's grace and Him choosing us. There's nothing that we can do to earn God's love for us. He just loves us. That's just the kind of God that He is. And so what we'll learn from Mary's story is that God's favor is not earned, but it's given. As a matter of grace, not merit. Mercy, not qualification. And that God's favor is often demonstrated in anything but giving us what we would have expected or preferred, asked, or desired. We'll also see that God's favor, even when demonstrated in ways we wouldn't choose or expect, is simply to be received through faithful obedience. So let's unpack the text here. The gospel writer, Luke, he places us in the home of Mary. Mary's engaged to a man named Joseph, and in those days, the marriages would have been prearranged by the families and would have been recognized by law. Most likely during this time of engagement, Mary would have been living still at her father's house because it just kind of was a long, just prearranged marriage stuff. And all it was kind of a prolonged thing. So Mary's busy in her home there in this backwater town of Nazareth. You know, that really, if you really want to know at the core of the gospel, you can see it here. The fact that God chooses, I mean, we'll get to the fact that He chooses a 12 or 14-year-old girl who, from society standpoint, is insignificant. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But the fact that He chose a girl in Nazareth tells us something about what the gospel is all about. I mean, Nazareth was just a nobody town. Nobody comes. Nobody with any sense. Nobody with any gravitas about them. Nobody with any connection comes from the town of Nazareth. And so she's busy in her home doing everyday life. Maybe she's sweeping the floor. Maybe she's just kind of going about her daily duties, whatever her mom, her father has asked her to do that day. And Mary was not surprised to hear a voice because in that day, it was very common when somebody would come see you, they wouldn't knock on the door. They would just kind of enter in and say, "Hey, I'm here. Hello, I'm here to visit." We don't live that day anymore, do we? How much time I got? We don't live in that day anymore. I saw a video on Facebook that talked about how 30 years ago when you got a visitor, you were all excited. You know, you heard the door knock. Oh, man, we got company. Here we go. Come on. I'm excited. Now, this day you hear, you're like, "Shh. Don't say nothing. Did you put the garage door down?" "Yeah, the garage door." "Okay, they don't think we're home." You're laughing, but it's true, all of you, right? I got it. When I go visit, I got to call ahead these days. You better call ahead, man. Gone are the days, just pop. Maybe I should start doing that, just popping in. I don't know. But here's the thing. So he comes in. She's just used to people just coming in and announcing. So, I mean, at first, she may not have been surprised. But here's the thing. What caught Mary off guard was the fact that the voice was that of an angel. And she turned and she saw this translucent, angelic figure standing in her doorway. Not only was there an angel in her home, but this angel comes with a very odd greeting. Kind of odd, but if she's familiar with, and I'm sure she is, if she's familiar with the Old Testament, she's read about this greeting before. If she's read about her faith ancestor Gideon, she's heard a greeting like this before. The angel comes in and says, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So one of two things happen. She's probably really surprised. Or, like I said, if she's really a really good student, she remembers, Gideon got this same greeting. I know what happened to him. You know, I don't know. So it says Mary was troubled, not by the presence of the angel, but by the angel's message. So why was she surprised? Mary was but a simple teenage girl from a very simple town. In her mind, her name probably wasn't near the top of the favored list. It certainly wasn't according to society's standards of that day. Mary is of no special lineage. Here's the thing. If the Son of God was going to be born to a family and to a woman, it shouldn't be born to Mary. I mean, if anything, it should at least be born to Elizabeth. I mean, at least Elizabeth, her father was a priest, and she's currently married to a priest, Zechariah. I mean, if the Messiah was going to be born to anyone, then you would think that it would be born to Elizabeth. At least that's from our world's standards of how we see the world. But aren't you thankful that God's kingdom looks a little bit different than the world's kingdom? And things kind of get upside down. So you can see why Mary would be perplexed. God had found favor with the most unlikely and chose to use the most unlikely route as a way to bring salvation to the world. God has found favor with us this morning. He's found favor with you this morning. He has chosen you to be his child. This news, I mean, it may come to you as a surprise, but it's true. No matter your background, no matter who you are, no matter who your mom or your dad was or was not, God, he wants to come into our lives this day, this moment, and say, listen, you're a favored child. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. I want to come in, and I want to transform your life. Mary's life was about to be transformed. So what was Gabriel's message to Mary? Mary was informed that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. Now, that's probably not how she woke up that day thinking that was going to happen to her. You know, maybe she thought, well, maybe Joseph and I's wedding will get bumped up a little bit. Maybe we can hurry this thing along. Maybe I'll find out that he's actually not a carpenter. He's actually kind of like a rich guy that I just didn't know about. And I don't know. Don't know what she was thinking. But I can tell you the last thing that she was thinking was, man, I'm going to give birth to the Messiah this morning. Or it's going to be announced that I'm going to give birth to the Messiah. The message was that she will give birth to a son. His name is Jesus. In Hebrew, Jesus is Yeshua, meaning Yahweh is salvation, or meaning God is salvation. Verses 32 and 33 are full of prophetic fulfillment from the Old Testament. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Just Old Testament prophecy just all over this thing. If you were in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about, I love how all this comes together. You see, we don't do anything by accident. You know, I don't just tell you to come to Sunday school because it's good, you know, because we're just trying to get people. I mean, there's a purpose behind all this stuff. And so this whole, if you've been in the adult Sunday school class, we've been going through Isaiah, and we've been looking at all these prophecies that are kind of leading us up to Jesus. And this morning, we looked at a prophecy that Matthew quotes in Matthew's version of the birth narrative. And it's very, very similar, that God wants to break in. God wants to move in. And there's no reason that we should fear. And this is the message that Mary got. This is the message that the kingdom of God will reign forever. But here's the thing, this wasn't a political message. The people of that day, they were expecting that. The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, when they looked at the Isaiah prophecies and the other messianic prophecies, they saw a political message. They saw, man, you just wait to this day. Whoever this Messiah is, when he shows up, man, then we'll show Caesar, then we'll show Rome. Then things will be set just right. But the truth is, this pronouncement that God's kingdom is going to reign forever and ever, it goes far beyond a political message. It goes far beyond some political stump speech. It goes far, far beyond that. Look at Mary's response. At first, Mary is perplexed. Wouldn't you be perplexed? But she doesn't let that keep her from believing the angel's message. The angel continues and says that the Spirit of the Lord will overshadow her. It says the Spirit of God. There's that Spirit word again. If you could see that word Spirit in the Hebrew, it would be that my favorite Hebrew word. Anybody know what it is? Starts with an R. Ruach. Yeah, it sounds just like that. If you need to clear your throat, just go Ruach. And I'm just saying, hey, I'm speaking Hebrew. I'm just speaking Hebrew, okay? I'm not being rude. The Spirit of God, we see this Hebrew word in the creation narrative when God speaks life, when he speaks creation into being, and he says the Spirit of God hovered upon over humanity and formed it and breathed breath into it, breathed his Spirit into it, and it came to life. So this Ruach of God, it gives life. And so the angel says, Mary, don't worry about the fact that you're not married. Don't worry about that you're still a virgin, because here's the thing. The kingdom of God, we don't need earthly and biological means to make this thing happen necessarily, because the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, gives life any way that it sees fit. The angel says, you are favored with God, and God wants to come upon you and create something. And that's the message that we have for us today. That the Spirit of God is alive and the Spirit of God is active in our lives today, and he wants to do something new. He wants to speak something new into your life. I'm not talking about prosperity. No, I'm really, what does he want to speak into your life? New creation, salvation, transformation. I'm not going to get up here and tell you he wants to speak a new car into your life or speak new money. God is not Santa Claus. Remember that from 15 minutes ago? Then verse 38. Profound words here. I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Wow. So this early teenage girl. I mean, still technically probably still kind of preteen in the early teenage years. From a backwater town, a nobody, gets this message that she is going to be with child. And her response is, may it be with me as you have said. Mary's asked to take on, in her mind, what is impossible. Mary has been asked to put her life in second place and place God's will first. She doesn't know how this is going to turn out. But she fully trusts the one who is asking this of her. You know, so I read this text. I was reading this text this week. And I was just reminded of how it really is difficult for us to really wrap our minds around what's going on here. You know, Advent is all about waiting. It's all about expecting, and hard for us to do that because we're on this side of the first Advent, so we kind of know how it all turns out. But yet, it's good as a church to kind of move us through this season of expectation, the season of waiting. But it really is. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, because in Scripture we see. You know, essentially, Mary says, okay, sounds good. Awesome. Sign me up. And you kind of get a little song from Mary, you know, and then you turn the page, and it's like, oh, cool, Christmas story. Awesome. And it's like, oh, that wasn't too bad. But we forget Mary has more waiting that she has to do. We forget that there's more expecting that has to be done, literally. Mentally, I mean, on every level. I mean, think about it. She has 9 months to process this. And you know how us humans, we can overthink stuff. What if for 9 months she's been saying, I told that angel, may your word be in me, may it be fulfilled. You know, I'm sure there were times that she just was like, oh, You know, just this sense of maybe fear, this sense of what's going on. How is this going to unfold? Because to this point, the angels just showed up and said, hey, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. He's going to reign forever and ever. You know, all this good stuff. I would imagine Mary probably wants a little more details, right? How is this going to happen? Are we going to have this child? Like, are we going to have it home? Or are we going to be on the road in the middle somewhere? Are we going to be in a stable? You know, man, but isn't that faith, though? I mean, isn't that the kind of the story of faith of being available to God's leading and just step by step walking in faith? In many ways, Mary represents for all of us what it means to allow the hope of God to drive out the fear of what if. And this isn't always easy. If you take these two chapters of Luke, you'll find Mary displays several emotions. I could give you the references, but just for time, here we go. In these two chapters, we see Mary is troubled, afraid, perplexed, faithful, ecstatic, humble, grateful, and amazed. All in those two chapters. I think that we can resonate with that. In following God's plan for your life, do you ever feel like you're perplexed, and then you're fearful, and then you're amazed, and you're ecstatic, and then you're like, that's cool. I mean, you guys got together. I guess it's just me. But that's what we see. And so as this story unravels, all of these motions that can creep up, we are reminded that it doesn't take away the truth of the gospel, the truth of what God says when He says, I will be with you, when He says, I will be faithful to you. Really mindful of what Pastor Amanda said last week when she said, emotions are not truth. What is true is the Word of God. And I think it could be that's what we see here in Mary's response. And so I'm convinced that on this day when we are moving from Advent to Christmas, we are realizing just what it means for Christ to break into the darkness. In the midst of our questions, in the midst of our worries, in the midst of our lack of understanding, we see God break in. In fact, I would argue that if you would look back on your faith journey, it's probably in those moments of questions, those moments of fear, those moments of having a lack of understanding that you seem to hear God the most, or you're at least most sensitive to what He's trying to do with you. I mean, because it really does, it humbles us. Those moments humble us. When life has us in a position of waiting, of fear, I believe our best response is one of holding on to the hope that God is moving, that God will indeed show up. And it could be this is what the season is all about. When we feel hopeless, when we feel fearful, we can hold to the hope and know that God is going to show up. You ever felt hopeless? Have you ever felt like you just don't understand it? You ever felt like that, man, I thought I had all this stuff figured out. I want to show you a clip. It's going to be a little lighthearted. It's going to kind of break up some things here. But it shows a friend of mine who he really thought he had his whole thing figured out. He really thought that he had this Christmas thing figured out. And he just thought he had it all together. And when I read that, when I see this, when I watch this, I'm like, man, that's us. When we feel like we got it all, we have our life, boom, but we got it all figured out. But we're kind of reminded that God's purposes is not for us to have it always figured out all the time. His purpose is really for us just to have faith and obedience and to follow His leading. So check out my friend here as he learns what Christmas is all about.
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. And there were the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
So that's what Christmas is all about. You know, when we feel like we've had it all together and we don't, we feel hopeless. That it's this God who comes in and he breaks in. And for Mary's journey, I think that you'll see other times where she has to figure it out a little bit more. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 19, so if you go there, you see the Christmas narrative is all played out. And just like Linus told us, he kind of gave us the short version of the shepherds being told. Which, as a side note, if you notice this, I had a friend of mine point this out to me this week. When Linus goes into the speech, so what does Linus always have to have in his hand to make him feel safe? Am I the only one that just now catches on the fact that he drops the blanket when he says, Fear not? He drops the blanket when he says, Fear not. And he goes into that. Now he picks it back up, but that's because he doesn't want to get it dirty as he walks back over to Charlie Brown. But he drops the blanket, and you see him talking with both hands, and there's actually a quick scene. You see it laying on the floor. And I saw that, and I said, man. Lord, I pray that in the moments when we're feeling fearful, that you show up and we have faith to understand that, man, there's no reason to fear. But Luke 2:19. The shepherds, they're told, the shepherds show up. The shepherds kind of say, hey, we heard all this. And then Luke 2:19 says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Pondered them in her heart. What was Mary pondering? She's just heard the word of the shepherds, which simply confirmed everything that she had been waiting for. For 9 months, she had been waiting. She was making sure, am I really doing God's will? Is this what God wants? I mean, how is this going to turn out? For 9 months, he's kind of been maybe going through these. I'm not sure. But in this moment, it's all confirmed. When the shepherds show up and say, hey, listen, the angels have told us this. Man, she treasured all this up in her heart, and she was like, begin to ponder it. Because I think she really realized that this baby of hers is exactly who the angel said he would be. And so 9 months ago, Mary was just a small town girl going about her life with no real expectations. 9 months ago, she assumed that she would just become Joseph's wife and they would have a family and they would just kind of go through life the way that their parents had gone through life. But God showed up and changed everything. You know, when God shows up, things change. So this morning, we celebrate this truth. We celebrate that God did show up. He showed up to show us love. He showed up to show us how to live. He showed up to drive out fear and to give hope. He showed up so one day we could find joy in all circumstances. He showed up so we could find peace in the midst of trouble. And so today, folks, Christ is here. The Christ candle is lit this morning because we've completed the Advent journey. Christ indeed is here.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.